WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Israel's army says it will advance preparations for the first phase of President Trump's peace plan for Gaza. Hamas says it agrees with parts of the plan, including the return of all remaining hostages. This man in Israel is ready for peace.
It's a really good sign of the whole situation. The deal that Trump and Bibi Netanyahu, they are preparing for Hamas, they are making for Hamas, it's a good deal.
Trump has given Hamas until tomorrow evening to accept the deal, or in his words, all hell will break out against Hamas. Here's CBS News intelligence and national security reporter Olivia Gazis.
On the one hand, it is encouraging that Hamas appears to be agreeing to release all of the hostages and the remains in their possession in one fell swoop. That was a core requirement that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu set forward. Not phases, all of them. It's also encouraging that they are saying that they're prepared to proceed to immediate logistical and other negotiations for how to do so. That's kind of where the reasons for optimism end, because everything else is somewhat more nebulous. There are a lot of ifs, ands, and buts in the response embedded within them.
Lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs plan to appeal his 50-month prison sentence for prostitution-related charges. CBS's Jerika Duncan says the music mogul's family spoke at his sentencing hearing yesterday.
Six of his seven children addressed the judge and asked for leniency. Combs's 18-year-old daughter, Delilah, pleaded with the judge for, quote, a chance for her family to heal together, not as a headline, but as human beings who are trying to do better.
The judge gave Combs credit for the 13 months he has already served behind bars. Japan may soon have its first female prime minister.
Japan's governing Liberal Democratic Party, which is the conservative party there despite the name, has elected former Economic Security Minister Sanae Takaichi as its new leader, and that makes it likely she will make history and become prime minister. Takaichi is considered one of the most conservative members of the male-dominated party. She replaces Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba as the party hopes to stay in power with a parliamentary vote expected in several weeks. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
In her victory speech, Takaichi said instead of savoring joy, she's overwhelmed by the mountain of challenges she will have to tackle. It's a huge weekend for Taylor Swift fans with the release of her new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
This is so different from the last album, but in a really good way.
Swifties are flocking to select theaters to see the movie celebrating the new album, with behind-the-scenes content and the world premiere of the music video for one of the new songs on the album. It's titled The Fate of Ophelia. This is Taylor Swift's 12th studio album. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. With record high Lyme disease cases in Wisconsin, a new antibody treatment aims to provide seasonal protection against the disease by offering passive immunity. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Lyme disease is a tick-borne infection caused by the Borrelia burgdorferi bacteria. Seth Letterman heads Tonic Pharmaceuticals, the company licensing the antibody treatment. He says it works by neutralizing a key component of the bacteria.
There are about 70 million people in the United States who are in areas where there's significant infestation with ticks infected with Borrelia. And right now, there are not good alternatives to treat it.
Wisconsin saw nearly 6,500 cases of Lyme disease in 2024, the highest on record. Letterman says the intention of the antibody treatment is to provide seasonal protection, with people receiving it in spring for protection through summer and fall. The antibody was developed at the University of Massachusetts and differs from a vaccine treatment by providing what Letterman calls passive immunity, meaning it requires no work from the body's immune system. That's unlike vaccines, which he explains can cause issues for people with immune system problems.
Vaccines have issues relating to waking up the immune system in one way or another. So I think that the tolerability of antibodies is generally favorable relative to a vaccine.
Letterman emphasizes that people who have had Lyme disease don't develop protective immunity naturally. 20% go on to develop chronic symptoms, which can be severely debilitating. It will be a while before the treatment is available. An initial trial phase has been completed, with clinical trials set to begin in the next 2 years. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunny and a high near 80 degrees. Clear tonight, 65. Sunshine, 80 again for Sunday. Clear, 65 Sunday night. For Monday, some showers or storms possible with a high around 75. Showers and storms likely on Monday night, 56.
Right now, it's 62.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin. For real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Welcome in. It is Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and in our roundtable show, we are joined each week by a number of members across the Civic Media empire, which now stretches across three states here in the Midwest. Joining me will be Conrad Krieger, Greg Gunderson, and Parker Olson. We're happy to have you here as part of Make the Call. And on our first segment of our first show over the air, we launch into what will be our recurring weekly feature, the Top 7 at 7. These are the top seven sports stories of the week as determined by us, because we are the experts and we are so, so smart. And we are going to start with this very important question. Number 7, predict the next Badgers football win. Conrad.
I honestly think we're not going to win until the last week, which is against Minnesota for the battle for the Axe. I don't see any other wins coming between then.
That's honestly fair. I'm looking at either that Minnesota win or possibly, with a little bit of luck, a win against Iowa. Not today, but next week. But I will tell you what, though. I can't believe the run defense is that good. I saw a stat that they were like one of the top in the country. That's unbelievable to me. Maybe they can use that to propel them into a win here.
Well, they do play Iowa, and Iowa is very, very good at punting. So I always look at the punting matchup personally. that game stands out for me very, very much. All right, number 6, and we stay with the Badgers theme. Are Badgers women's sports underappreciated? And I ask this because I saw a stat about the salary of one of the Badgers women's coaches, Mark Johnson, who's won something like 400 NCAA titles as coach of the Badgers, but his salary is something like 7% of the head football coach. So are Badgers women's sports underappreciated? Parker?
Certainly. I don't base everything off of money, but if he's making that little in comparison to Luke Fickell, that is absolutely ridiculous. I think that Johnson he's probably the best coach ever in Badger history, broad, like all sports, if I had a guess.
But I look at it too, because you look volleyball and, you know, with women's hockey, with the women's sports, they're doing just such a great job. Gray, your thoughts?
I would take it even one step further. I avoid stats. Those percentages, they're often used to warp perception a little bit, but this might be the perfect time to directly compare the money from one to the other, because why? And of course, it's a cyclical issue. It's not invested in because it's not popular, but it's not popular because it's not invested in. We just need somebody to make the big push and start the right kind of trend, basically.
All right, moves us up to number 5 in our top 7 at 7. And this is the big question. It is the War on 94. That's right. It is UW Stout at UW Eau Claire. No, I'm kidding. For most of you,
no,
this is
yes.
The Brewers and Cubs series that begins today and coming up here in just a few hours, in fact. So the question is, what is the greatest challenge the Brewers have to overcome against the Cubs? Conrad.
I believe that it is the Cubs starting pitching that is our greatest challenge, but I believe that our hot bats could knock them down a peg, maybe, you know, shatter their confidence right away. I see Matthew Boyd or Colin Rea. They could easily be a little shattered for confidence. So I think just trying to get these hot bats started against these really good pitchers that the Cubs have.
It's a good point. The Brewers, by the way, had a little bit of stumble towards the end of the year as they had wrapped up the record of the best record in baseball. I think going in, I think everybody's feeling pretty, pretty good about where the Brewers have been this year. Let's go to number four in our top seven at seven. It's back to the Badgers because they play today against Michigan. And the question is, after we all were very glowingly optimistic about their chances for getting a win here this season, now the question is, what would it take for you to feel good about the Badgers keeping Luke Fickell as head coach? And we'll start with Parker.
I really need to see something that tells me that Luke Fickell has got some kind of momentum going. And right now, there is no momentum. I did say the run defense is really good, but you can't build an entire program off of just that. They've got to have something else clicking for them, and I'm hoping that maybe it can be a good, consistent quarterback play. That's what I want to see to keep Luke Fickell around.
At this point in the season, too, certain statistics can still be misleading because of sample size, though general run defense could honestly go one way or the other. I always will meet that with, okay, how, who, and why? Who have they played before now? What have been the tendencies of those offenses? But position group performances is what I might look for. Like if they're clearly getting buy-in from the defense in general or the linebackers under their assistant coach, those are the kinds of things, or players still buying in a losing season with the headlines against them. Those are encouraging signs on a bad season, not a bad team.
Number three in the top seven at seven, the NLDS begins today, best of five. Who do you think the Brewers MVP of this series against the Cubs will be? Conrad.
You know, I kind of got a tie here. I believe that Christian Yelich needs to be an MVP, but more of a leader to this team because he is the most experienced, I feel, in the playoffs. And he's back to his MVP season. You know, kind of stats are kind of close. But also, I would say just the general bullpen. We need those guys to come in the later innings and just shut these Cubs down.
My MVP is the Mars Cheese Castle. All right, number two in the top seven at seven. It is this. How have your expectations for the Packers changed after the last two games, a loss against Cleveland and a tie against Dallas? Gray.
My expectations generally have been maintained, but individual performance metrics may be a little less so. The shakeup on the offensive line means that Love is eventually going to see breakdowns in protection, which means his current production is unsustainable. He's at the top of the league or top three or so in almost every category of quarterback play, but we've still seen those boneheaded Jordan Love mistakes. So that's eventually going to change. That said, I'll stop predicting things like three sacks for one player in one game like I did last week, which I should have done in the first place. But now that much fun has left the air, at least.
Didn't I say one sack and then you talked me up to a sack and a half last week?
Oh, we bartered. We bartered and we made the wrong decision together. And I'm going to say that because it makes me look better.
Fair enough. I think my expectations for the Packers going forward are going to be just look like you have a clue on special teams. That is, I've never been a shoot for the stars kind of guy. I was never going to say the Packers, oh, if they don't win a Super Bowl, it's a bust year. I think if the Packers don't start to look like they know what they're doing on special teams, you can burn it all down as far as I'm concerned. Rich Bisacci can be gone. I'm done.
All right. As the resident special teams coordinator, I'm with you there. And also, by the way, Parker, good call on Romeo Doubs and having a big game last week. Great call on that.
Oh,
top
hey,
one
somebody had
in
it.
The top seven at seven. And this is the big question going into the NLDS. What are you most excited about with this Brewers-Cubs series? Conrad.
Taking the rivalry and going to the next round. That's what I want to be excited about. I'll say, you know, the deeper part of our lineup, they've produced still, and I'm excited to see what they can do in the series. It's not just about the top. It could be the bottom, too. So I'm excited to see that.
For me, it's the new fans. When a rivalry meets the postseason and you get something like this, there's local involvement that you might not see before. And people who might not even care much suddenly will be drawn to it. You want to see when baseball makes new fans? It's weeks like this.
And Parker, how about you? What are you most excited about for this series?
I would really like to see the Brewers just find a way to get the bats going, find some open grass, because they've definitely struggled with that in the last couple of weeks. Would certainly like to see Jackson Chourio get hot. I've got my fingers crossed. What about you? What do you got, Jimmy?
You know, my thing I'm most excited for, first of all, is that we are, what I'm not excited about, to be honest, is that there's going to be something between 7,000 and 11 billion references to the fact that Pat Murphy coached Craig Counsell in college baseball, that they were coaching together in the Brewers staff. It's going to be the
the storyline that gets just thrown out there a million times this weekend, we get it. We know. I think the other thing that maybe I'm least excited about is that we don't get the Brewers home media crew for this, because the Brewers have such a great TV broadcast just on their own between all the announcers and Sophia Minner and everybody. But we do get a pretty solid national crew for all this as well. I think what I'm most excited about, though, is honestly just getting this first ever series between the Brewers and Cubs off the ground, and then just absolutely stressing out and stress eating for the next week while the series plays out. I'm looking forward to all the bad food that I'm about to take in for all of this. All right, that is our top 7 at 7. And what we do now is we send it over to Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clemens for a look at what's happening all across Wisconsin sports. Here's Mike.
Bucky's in the big house. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers are in Ann Arbor today against Michigan. They kick off this morning at 11 a.m. at the big house, the Wolverine Stadium, first built in 1927. It seats over 100,000. The Badgers are 2-2. Michigan, ranked number 20th in the nation, is 3-1. Head coach Luke Fickell during the week on who's going to be healthy enough to start on their offensive line today.
It's another one of those things that's just been most difficult. It's not knowing in your preparation, you know, who are you or will you have as you get towards Saturday.
Wisconsin quarterback Danny O'Neill's been sacked 13 times so far this season in just 4 games. That's one more than all of last season combined.
I think a big thing is just maybe changing up what we do pre-snap a little bit, trying to simplify some things. We know what we're going to see. We just got to be able to go translate it from the film room to the field and from practice to the game.
NFL. The Packers have a bye week after ending in a disappointing 40-40 tie last Sunday night in Dallas against the Cowboys. The Packers had the ball at the end of overtime but had to settle for a field goal. Matt LaFleur on confusion on the offense on that final drive.
When we're not in two-minute mode and then you jump into two-minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed, whereas 2 minute is got to be warp speed. It's a bad look, quite honestly. And, you know, that's why you get a bad result.
I talked to running back Josh Jacobs on why the tie felt more like a disappointing loss.
I think it was just the way that we ended the game, man. Like our operation at the end of the game, we should have basically been in like 2 minute mode. And I feel like we all collectively didn't understand what moment we was in the game. And I think that's just something that we got to learn from and grow from.
The Packers host the Bengals next Sunday. NBA. The Bucks headed to Miami to play the Heat in a preseason game on Monday night. Giannis Antetokounmpo expected to join the team this weekend after being quarantined in Greece. He tested positive for COVID. GM John Horst talked about how many players they are trying out for this training camp.
We've got 21 players. I think Doc and I've talked about it a lot. I actually think we have 21 players that deserve a chance to be on an NBA roster, to be on our roster. Obviously, there's not going to be 21 of them. There'll be 18 in the form of two ways or rosters. And it's a really competitive camp. And we knew that going into it. You know, we were presented the opportunity as the offseason progressed to add some players that we thought were just too good to be true and really just great opportunities. And we're going to let the guys play it out. And I think competition gives us a great opportunity to have a great start to our camp and a great start to our season. And they're all capable. Best player, best man win mentality. We want to put the best 15 plus 3 2 ways that we can on our roster.
Baseball, absolute excitement today here at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where for the first time in franchise history, the Brewers will face off in the postseason against the Chicago Cubs. Freddie Peralta gets the start for Milwaukee. First pitch this afternoon at 1:08. Rival teams, rival cities. The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Obviously, the familiarity is there, but the stakes are the same. You know, it's two passionate fan bases that are pretty familiar with each other over the years, and we've had some big games against each other, and surprising that we haven't really met in the postseason before. But, you know, I had a feeling this would shape up this way at some point this season. And look, they're a great team. We're a good team. We play each other really close throughout the season, and I'd anticipate a lot of the same here in the postseason, and it'll be a fun week for sure. It'll be a great atmosphere and two fun environments when we're here and more at Wrigley.
Craig Counsell was the Brewers manager for 9 seasons before taking over as the Cubs manager 2 years ago.
At least from my perspective, kind of being on both sides of it, I think the regular season matchups are awesome. It's a lot of fun. A lot of times it's kind of there's extra energy from fans, and there's fans from both teams in the building, and that's always made it a lot of fun. These are two cities that are close together, very close. Each city's residents have thoughts about each other's residents. Harmless, obviously. But the proximity of the cities makes it fun. No doubt about it. And the proximity makes rivalries, too. And then teams being good makes rivalries.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown. On This Week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, with Don Levine and Neil George of Waukesha Resist talking about their big demonstration coming up at Cutler Park on October 18th. Plus more about local politics and all the things that are important to us.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. Find the podcast at waukradio.com.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. Jimmy Cuska here with you. We'll dive into the other sports topics here in a bit, but this segment is Make the Call. And what we do is we call out to one of our friends in sports across the great state of Wisconsin. And today it is Travis Wilson, who works at Bound Wisconsin. You might know Travis from a different platform that he worked on for a long time, but now works at Bound Wisconsin, which is now the new hub for all things high school sports. And Travis, I want to bring you on today to talk about the new platform and what it offers. I will just start with this. From my perspective, things are so much cleaner and easier to sort that for an OCD person like me, it is a lot of fun to navigate and use. Can you tell us about Bound Wisconsin and the service it offers to high schools here across Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, we did steal Jimmy Cuska to highlight some of his quotes and some of the stuff we've done. So thanks, Jimmy, for that. We're building out a new home for high school sports in Wisconsin, to be quite honest with you. I spent 17 years at WSN, and it's definitely sad and bittersweet to leave there. But with the way some things were going and some things they wanted to do, it felt right to make a change. And I couldn't be more excited about what we're building at boundwisconsin.com. Many of the things that people have come to expect for a long time, if you're kind of just a casual fan, right, and you want to find your favorite team's scores, schedule, their box scores, maybe some stat leaders from the state, different things like that. Have a very robust stat tool that allows coaches to enter information and then users around the state to be able to see that information, whether it's fans, players, coaches, college coaches, media members, et cetera, just like they have for a long time. And as you said, some really slick new tools that are available to sort and filter information. And one of the biggest things is honestly the Bound app. If people have not downloaded that yet, even if you're familiar with Bound and have used it a little bit, get the app as soon as you can. It is chock full of information that people have begged us for a long time, to have an app that displays all of that stuff in a mobile setting. And it's just outstanding what you're able to do in the app itself. But if you're more of a hardcore fan and you want to know what's going on and you want to read about stuff and maybe take a look at some of the, the in-depth previews that we do, you can find that at boundwisconsin.com. Player of the week, team of the week, coaches poll. We do a weekly preview as well. All kinds of content that is at boundwisconsin.com and will only increase from here, especially as we start moving into the second half of the season and start playoff talk. We'll have all kinds of preview and playoff information as we go along as well. We're very excited as well right now to begin building out the basketball seasons on Bound, getting that set up, getting the teams created, conferences, divisions, all that stuff, starting to get schedules in as well, because we're going to be going full bore into basketball as well this year and really keep that momentum rolling to not only cover football and basketball, but really build out a home for many of the other sports as well. In fact, more opportunities for more sports than what we have had previously. So excited about the momentum, excited about the way things have started at Bound. And we're pumped to get things going.
If you want to know any bit about the detail that's going into this, we can now list pancake blocks as football stats on Bound as people who are involved in football right now. So that's how detailed it's gotten. And Travis, I'm glad you explained all of the previous features that we've come to enjoy from you and all the work that you've done with high school sports. All those things still exist, just in a new format. And what I'm impressed by, Travis, is how quickly this all turned around just before the season. So kudos to you and your team for getting this platform up and running so quickly and making it so easily manageable, not just for media members, but coaches, fans, players, all of that as well.
Yeah, it was wild and crazy and hectic to get everything set to go. Honestly, it came together quicker and smoother than honestly I even anticipated. It was a very short turnaround, just a couple weeks to get things built out and get people used to doing something different. As you know, coaches are creatures of habit and they don't like doing things different. So to get them to switch over, the response has been incredible. So many coaches comment about how the system is easier. It is a better user interface than what they've used previously. There's more information available. It's just been outstanding to see the adoption by the coaches on the football side. And again, that's a testament to our team to get that built out. And also, to be quite honest with you, the football coaches, including the WFCA, for trusting me and us enough to get it done, because it was a little hairy there for a bit, but we got everything set to go, and it's rocking and rolling from here.
Travis Wilson of Bound Wisconsin, I appreciate you sharing all of your insights. If you want to follow Travis, follow him at Travis Bound on X, or you can find him on other social media platforms as well. Thank you for sharing some insights, and we'll definitely be having you on this program on a semi-regular basis, at least going forward. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Thanks, Jimmy.
A huge thanks to Travis Wilson right there. He used to be, of course, at wisports.net. That's the website we kept alluding to. But that has all moved over now to Bound Wisconsin, which I can speak from multiple perspectives. One, as a coach, in that entering stats is a breeze. It's a lot more sortable, a lot more user-friendly, a lot easier to find the things I'm looking for when I need to upload things. So that's one of the things I really like about it, is that it's a lot more user-friendly. The interface is great. The app is actually designed for mobile now, so if I want scores, I can find them very easily. There's a lot of really cool things to like. So if you follow high school sports, as I do, it is definitely something you need to download to your phone like yesterday. It's amazing that this service rolled out literally in the last few weeks, and it's already become the go-to for all high school sports things here in Wisconsin. So make sure that you are grabbing it and finding everything you need to to learn about high school sports, scores, stats, all that. Again, Bound Wisconsin is the website. It's also the app that you can find. You can just select Wisconsin. You can find your favorite team, set up your bookmarks and all of that. A feature they've added that incorporates Civic Media is that it links to all of our radio streams. So for all 12 stations we have that are doing high school sports, it now includes streaming links to all of those stations. So that is something really cool that we've worked together to put on the Bound Wisconsin website and on the app. All right, coming up next, we head back to Campus Connection and we hear more about the Badgers coming up here on Make the Call on Civic Media.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News Brief. Hamas says it agrees with some of President Trump's peace proposal for Gaza. It's willing to release all hostages. This man in Israel is hopeful.
It's a really good sign of the whole situation. The deal that Trump and Bibi Netanyahu, they are preparing for Hamas, they are making for Hamas, it's a good deal.
President Trump has given Hamas until tomorrow evening to agree to the deal. CBS's Michael Toscano reports Japan may soon have its first female prime minister.
Japan's governing Liberal Democratic Party, which is the conservative party there, has elected former economic security minister Sanae Takaichi as its new leader, and that makes it likely she will make history and become prime minister.
Swifties are flocking to theaters to see the new movie celebrating the release of Taylor Swift's latest album, The Life of a Showgirl.
This is so different from the last album, but in a really good way.
The new album celebrates Swift's love for her fiancé, Travis Kelce. It also includes one of her patented diss tracks. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
The Brewers postseason is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs today here at American Family Field, a sellout crowd, the first in the best of five-game divisional series. Brewers manager Pat Murphy confirmed that right-handed pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who came back this summer after missing the past 2 years following shoulder surgery, will not pitch this week.
It has nothing to do with his shoulder health. His shoulder's 100% healthy. It's on its way. He's proven that when he's pitched. Now he has an injury. He has a lat injury, and that lat injury, much like a hamstring, has to be treated as such. So he's not going to pitch in this series.
So how do you deal with a lat injury? Brandon Woodruff.
Like I've been told, it's like a hamstring. You get 99%, you feel great. It's that last 1% that can really affect you. So you really just have to make sure it's 100%. When it's 100%, I don't know. I'm trying every day to get to that point as quick as I can.
That's Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunny and a high near 80 degrees. Clear tonight, 65. Sunshine, 80 again for Sunday. Clear, 65 Sunday night. For Monday, some showers or storms possible with a high around 75. Showers and storms likely on Monday night, 56.
Right now, it's 62.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal...
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call, the Civic Media Sports Network. It is time now for our Campus Connection segment. And to do that, we start with UW, and we are joined by Jake Kokorowski of the Badger Observer. Jake, how are you, sir?
I am doing good. As y'all can probably see, I'm just driving down, or if you can't, maybe you can't see, driving down as a busy weekend ahead, you know, covering Wisconsin, Michigan, and also covering a couple of Wisconsin commits for the 2026 class. And, you know, in between. So it's going to be a fun weekend, busy weekend. And I got all my Diet Pepsi and my creatine stashed in my back. See you at the car.
Kernberger's going across the state lines too, I bet. Jake, we had a long segment earlier in the show. We were talking to Badgers football, and I'm going to turn it over to Gray for the first question. We're pulling this right out of our earlier segment on the show today.
Jake, basically, we went over the fact that the upcoming schedule for Badgers football is basically a blueprint for a wood chipper. This looks like a rough stretch. When can Badgers football fans expect a win or expect a sign of hope?
I mean, Michigan, like, it's going to be tough. I'm not predicting a win. I'm thinking a blowout loss. I think, you know, but it depends on if Michigan and Wisconsin can contain that Michigan run game. That's going to be the first step, but there's a lot more that needs to happen. The margin of error at Ann Arbor is really tough. I would actually argue Iowa, depending on what happens with their quarterback situation with Mark Gronowski, the former South Dakota State quarterback, and his health, from what we've seen from other reports, you know, that have been going on this week. It just, you know, Iowa's offense isn't great. Wisconsin's, I mean, if they're trying to run the ball, Wisconsin's run defense, that's been a strength this year, and that's what gashed Wisconsin last year in Iowa City with Caleb Johnson, and that ground game really just devouring Wisconsin's defense, really. And then but I would probably say Iowa would be the one that would be the next. It's homecoming, it's in Madison. That would be the one. I mean, it's still worth watching this week. I would still say see out of the bye week just what Wisconsin shows, right? Like, is there a fight? Are they going to carry over, you know, like, are they going to like carry over what they've been doing in the bye week? Guys sound positive. But obviously, you know, you can be positive in practice, make progress, and then the game's a different story. But I would argue Iowa. There's also Washington down the road, you know, in early November. And, you know, obviously Minnesota is always one where, you know, no matter what the record is, no matter what's going on, you throw out the record when those two teams play.
What are you seeing the Badgers doing during that bye week? What was the points of emphasis that they were looking at to try to get better and give themselves a chance in some of these games that are upcoming? Because there are so many weaker spots that they have to get better in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one is even just that I can really call out, because that's kind of what I've talked to with some of the players, was just with Ben Barton, I think in particular, was the one that talked about his communication on the defense, where they're talking and calling out what's happening or calling out things so that they know what's going on. I think that's going to be key, especially against Michigan, where they have a heavy run game. That offensive line's still really good. I think that was an interesting thing that Ben Barton, who's, you know, in his sixth year at Wisconsin, said. You know, regarding other things, we don't know what's going to happen with the offensive line right now, at least from the outside looking in terms of if there are going to be any changes. They need to protect Danny O'Neill or Billy Edwards Jr., whoever plays, because, you know, Michigan's had 14 sacks in, you know, in the first, you know, four games of the year. And so it's very physical front there. And if Wisconsin wants any success, they're going to have to protect Danny O'Neill and the quarterbacks and not allow any sacks on the road.
Jake, BadgerObserver.com is where people can find your work. But I noted this week on your social medias, you celebrated a cool milestone with all of your subscriptions this week.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. You know, 250 total subscribers, paid and free. It really means a lot that people are trusting the process and trusting me with their dollars. I mean, that means the world to me that I'm able to now, as I am right now, traveling on a freeway to go watch Wisconsin wide receiver commit Tayshaun Bardo, then go to Wisconsin, Michigan. And then after that, watch Jack Janda, one of the tight end commits on Sunday afternoon. So it does mean a lot. And like I said, Badger Observer, $7 a month, $69 a year. Promise you, I'm going to give you all the unique storytelling reporting that I can covering Wisconsin football, volleyball, and recruiting.
Jake, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us here on Make the Call.
Awesome. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
We segue now into the local colleges across Wisconsin, and that will start with the WIAC. And this week is the opening week of 7 weeks of all of eight of these schools just absolutely beating on one another going into the conference slate, as we have a 21-2 non-conference record amongst WIAC schools. And there are some big games coming up already here in the first week of conference play in Division III. We'll start with the WIAC because this is where Parker Olson and I spend a lot of our time. Myself as the broadcaster for UW Platteville, and Parker as the recent grad and former editor of the Royal Purple at UW Whitewater. And I'll start right in Whitewater because I don't think there's a bigger game, not only in the slate for the WIAC, but in all of college football this week, at least in Division III, than Whitewater hosting La Crosse. Because Parker, these two teams are right at the top of everybody's list of who they think will win the WIAC, and we're going to figure out right away which team is going to have the edge.
It's really fun to have a championship caliber type of game right out of the gates, and that's exactly what you're getting with La Crosse and Whitewater here. And I like too about this is La Crosse and Whitewater have both been very good, and that means that they don't particularly like each other all that much. So you're going to see a lot of guys flying to the football. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this game trying to get a win. I expect that the Warhawks are going to have a hard time against Kyle Haas, I believe is how you say that last name, for the La Crosse quarterback. He's just got an ability to extend plays, and that could be really tough for them. If he can extend plays for just an extra couple of seconds, the Whitewater defense might be really having a hard time containing the pass game. Jimmy, I know that you've got a Platteville broadcast coming up, though, right? What are you seeing with the Platteville game against the Pointers?
Yeah, I would say of the four games this weekend, it's probably the least intriguing, but Stevens Point is 3-0 going in.
Yeah.
And Platteville has to play without its starting quarterback now, as he was hurt 2 weeks ago against Springfield. So that does up the level of intrigue. I think the other two games that are in the conference this week also offer a great deal of interest. Oshkosh River Falls is a sneaky great game. It's a top 25, top 15 even showdown for some people. You have Caleb Blaha for River Falls back. You have Oshkosh with the high-powered offense and coming fresh off of a win over a Division II team. And then, of course, there is the real War on 94. That is Eau Claire hosting Stout. Stout has won the last nine meetings. They play for a trophy. Get this, guys. It's the I-94, the Interstate 94, like, road sign, the DOT sign. They've just got it in the colors of the Blue Golds on one side and the South Blue Devils on the other, and they mounted it to a board. So they actually play for a piece of highway. Which is pretty awesome. But I think in all of these, I think in all four of these, it's just a good way to kind of get things going, because it doesn't get any less intriguing after this. It's just this first week offers some very loaded matchups right away in the WIAC, Parker.
You do tend to get pretty heavy hitters just about every week in the WIAC with having so many really, really good teams. I'm really excited about that River Falls and Oshkosh game. I am a little upset that I'm not going to be able to watch it because I'll be at Whitewater. Always want an opportunity to watch Caleb Blaha. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm not really sure. I can't remember what I've got. This is the problem with the doing so much Wyatt coverage, is I don't always remember what I say because I have said so much already.
Well, let's take a quick look at some of the other things going on. CCIW is also as a huge matchup, and I know that there's only a couple of Wisconsin schools in this conference, but Carroll's playing Milliken this week. But I think one of the intriguing national matchups this week as well that might fly under the radar a bit, although this is historically a pretty great matchup, is Wheaton taking on North Central. It's another top 25 showdown. But of all these teams, these are the two teams in the CCIW that are going to be contenders. Wheaton won the Isthmus Bowl last year, a game I got to broadcast, and North Central defeated La Crosse already this year, looking very much like the number one team in the nation, which is where they are ranked. We have a lot of colleges in Wisconsin, and I promise as we go throughout and talk about college sports in this segment, we'll be able to hit on a lot of these. You know, if you look at like the Midwest Conference, you know, conference play is well underway there as well. You've got Lake Forest and Ripon, for example, Cornell taking on Beloit. You get a lot of these good mixes along the border with some of these schools. There's a lot of schools to get to. Believe it or not, Wisconsin has, two dozen Division III schools. Even beyond the eight in the WIAC, and including Superior, which doesn't play football but plays in other sports, there's a lot to get to. So when we do these Campus Connection segments, we do vow to get out and talk more about some of these other different schools. But it is time now, because we are approaching the end of this segment, and we'll turn our attention to high school sports after the commercial break. For the last part here, we're going to do what we call our calendar rundown, our calendar preview of Civic Media Sports, what's on the Civic Media calendar. And I think we just have to start with the Brewers and the NLDS that begins later today. That's a 12:30 start on five of our Civic Media stations. So check your local listings for that. Brewers, Cubs, NLDS. I'm going to start with Conrad on this. Conrad, this is a series I think people are pretty hyped for, because you get a division rival, you get your closest geographic rival, and now you get it in the form of a best of five. That's amazing.
It's going to be a really fun series to watch. I'm hoping for a sweep, but I don't know if I'll get my wish. I'm just hoping for a really good series. It's gonna come down to these bats that we have, I believe, and this bullpen. We have some really good starting pitchers, but I think the bullpen needs to save the day in some of these close games that I'm guessing we're going to have.
Well, Conrad, you noted the pitching of the Cubs. I look too to what the bats might be able to do against that pitching with the Brewers. And Parker, just talking about just some of the offensive weapons the Brewers bring to this. It was a cool op-ed that was written by the Brewers catcher this week. But there's certainly a lot of weapons. It hasn't been just one guy the Brewers had to rely on so far.
No, that's kind of the thing about the Brewers is, they absolutely embrace who they are. They are a small market team, and they don't, besides from maybe Yelich and Churio, they don't have the big superstar like Ohtani or somebody like that that makes you go, oh, we have to face that guy. It's like, it's pretty much everybody on this team. It's kind of death by 1,000 paper cuts is what you can expect out of this Brewers baseball team. And I would think that guys like Andrew Vaughn are going to step up a little bit, because as hot as he was when he started, he's kind of cooled off a little bit. You definitely are still thinking highly of him, but you don't think, oh, he's Andrew Vaughn. It's kind of like, okay, he's Andrew Vaughn.
So let's talk a little bit about football this weekend before we wrap up the segment. I will start with this. Badgers, Michigan. I don't think we need an in-depth analysis of this. I think we're all just kind of expecting pain in the game today. I think that's the forecast, pain.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to the NFL, where the Packers are off this week. But Gray, the NFC North is still in action on our station in Ely, Minnesota. We have the Vikings taking on the Browns on Sunday. But there are still some intriguing NFL matchups that do affect the Packers this week, Gray.
Indeed. First and foremost in my mind is Vikings at Browns, technically at Browns. It's happening in London, though, which will be the first time that a team, the Vikings, have done two international games in a row like that. But also it'll be the debut of Browns quarterback Dylan Gabriel, the 41st QB for the Browns since 1999. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. Then Lions at Bengals. Lions win. I'll leave it there.
All right. Well, there we go. That was a quick look at the NFL coming up this weekend. Packers are back in action. They get the Bengals coming out of their bye week. So the Packers do get that. So I guess we get, in a way, Gray, I guess we get kind of a preview of that if you're following the NFC North this weekend, right?
I hope the Packers are the second of a 1-2 punch that the Bengals go through over the next couple weeks.
There we go. Well, the Packers are going to try to get a little healthier here during the bye week. We are going to turn our attention to high school sports in the final segment. Parker, Conrad, Gray, thanks for your contributions. We are going to head over to high school sports coming up next as part of Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska, the host of the show and Civic Media Sports Director. I will be taking you through this final segment to wrap up the show as we recap a wild Friday night in high school football. So last night on Civic Media stations, we aired 11 high school football games, and there are two more coming your way today, and we'll preview those here in just a second. But let's go around the state and check in on some of the top scores from around Wisconsin. And we will start with our friends in Baraboo and WRPQ. They air all of the home games there. Holman visiting Baraboo tonight, and it was Holman ranked fifth in the state, getting a 48-7 win over the host Thunderbirds. Let's take a look now at Assumption. They were airing tonight on WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids, taking on Pittsville, and it was Pittsville getting a 30-6 victory up in Wisconsin Rapids on our Civic Media stations there. Let's take a visit to eight-player football, and we head to the Northwoods. The Shawamigan Co-op, they took on Hurley, and Mighty Hurley took down the Shawamigan Co-op 34-14 tonight. That game was aired on WPFP, also aired on our station in Ironwood, Michigan. We now trek across the state. We'll stay in the Northwoods, actually. Let's stay there. They had a second game on our Park Falls stations. It was Phillips taking on 10th-ranked Athens. Phillips last week took on a very good Flambeau team, ranked number one in the state in eight-player football, and it was Phillips getting back on track with a 52-40 victory for the Loggers. That game airing on WCQM tonight on our civic media stations. Let's head over to Ripon, one of our newest stations as part of the Civic Media Empire. And it was Ripon getting a big win over Nacoosa tonight, 55-28 on WRPN. WRJN tonight in Racine, our largest market of high school sports station, as you would expect, airing games from Racine County. And tonight they had Racine Case on for their broadcast as they were taking on Oak Creek this evening. And it was Racine Case getting the win over Oak Creek tonight, 30-20 in the call by Dick Graceffa on WRJN in Racine. We don't have to go too far around our dials. We'll head to southwestern Wisconsin. And our matchup tonight involved Richland Center and Dodgeville. And it was the Hornets bouncing back after a tough loss last week, taking down Dodgeville 50-28 with Phil Nee on the call on that one in Richland Center. Let's head over to Marshfield, where WXCO made one of two high school broadcasts tonight. Wausau West on the road to take on Marshfield at a beautiful facility there at Marshfield High School. And tonight, it was Marshfield getting the win 40-22 on the home field. WXCO had a second game going up on the airwaves tonight, as they frequently do, as they cover several high schools in that part of the state. And tonight, it was Newman Catholic getting the win over Port Edwards 48-6 in a dominant win in eight-player football. Those were the games on the Civic Media family of stations this week. We have two more games coming your way today. In north central Wisconsin, Wausau East visits Merrill. That game will kick off just after 1 o'clock on WXCO. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll have coverage beginning down on WRCO in southwestern Wisconsin in Division 7 football. It is Royal taking on Ithaca in a Scenic Bluffs clash. So those are two more high school games for you today among the 13 we aired across the network here on Civic Media. We also air games in Michigan and in Minnesota, but for the purposes of this show, we're going to focus on Wisconsin. Here are some of the other high school sports scores from last night across Wisconsin. Let's start in southeastern Wisconsin and in Waukesha, where it was North getting the win over Wauwatosa West. Waukesha North winning 24-19. New Berlin West is ranked 7th in the state in their division. They defeated Waukesha South 40-29, and it was Oconomowoc defeating Waukesha West 35-25. For our listeners in Racine County, we had a number of games this evening. It was Kenosha Bradford defeating Racine Park 43-0 this evening. Racine Horlick took on Kenosha Indian Trail, and it was Indian Trail getting the win 35-10. And then a big showdown between Burlington and Elkhorn, and it was Elkhorn getting a 29-23 victory. Set over Madison and southwestern part of the state, if you're listening on WMDX, you know all about the big rivalries in the greater Madison area. Wanakee, fifth ranked in the state, taking down Sun Prairie East 41-7. Verona over Madison West 40-7. Fifth ranked New Glarus went down to Prairie du Chien as Prairie du Chien got a 36-28 victory. Another big upset saw Iowa Grant take down River Ridge 34-30. And a battle of ranked teams, it was Darlington shutting out Lodi 38-0. And in a thriller, it was Columbus defeating Lake Mills 41-35. If we head just a bit to the west in west central Wisconsin, in La Crosse, it was a big matchup as well, as La Crosse Logan took down 10th ranked Reedsburg 42-36 in overtime. And if we stay on that part of the state, it was La Crosse Central defeating Toma 57-14. Arcadia bested Black River Falls 44-26, and it was Pepin Alma defeating Whitehall 39-8. West Salem also held off Gale Ettrick Trempolo 45-14. Just a bit south of La Crosse, a big matchup between ranked squads in D7, Potosi Cassville holding off Seneca Wazika Steuben 33-27. We move closer to the Northwoods in the Eau Claire area. It was Eau Claire Memorial defeating Wisconsin Rapids 29-20 tonight. How about this one? A ranked matchup between number 2 Regis and number 4 Mondovi. It was a last second Hail Mary pass that put Regis over the top. A 27-22 victory in one of the best games of the entire evening across Wisconsin. Staying in the northwestern part of the state, it was St. Croix Falls defeating Cumberland 20-14. Another amazing game in the northwestern part of the state saw Osceola just edging out Amory 36-35. For our listeners up in Hayward, Hayward LaCoudere and Ashland, it was Ashland defeating Hayward LaCoudere 44-31, and Hudson got the best of Superior 48-10. Northwood Solon Springs got a big win over Winter Birchwood 64-0 in 8-player football. And with that, we've run out of time on today's Make the Call. You can get a full scoreboard at boundwisconsin.com and listen to all the games coming up here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Michael Wallace. Hamas has agreed to parts of President Trump's peace proposal for Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
Hamas says it is willing to release all the remaining hostages, living and dead, and that it will hand over power to an independent Palestinian body. The language is a little murky. It doesn't stipulate if Hamas agrees to the terms laid out in the U.S. plan, barring Hamas from controlling Gaza. The U.S. wants to establish an interim international governing board headed by President Trump. There's also no mention of the offer of amnesty to Hamas, its potential exile from Gaza, and disarmament.
President Trump warned all hell will break out if Hamas doesn't agree to his plan by tomorrow.